This is Ask the Governor with Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. This is your chance to speak with Governor Edwards and ask the questions that are important to you.
I just wanted to tell you guys how awesome this thing is that you're doing.
This is incredible.
The phone number, 877-217-5757.
Let's go to the phones.
This is Ask the Governor on the Louisiana Radio Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to show number 63. Governor John Bel Edwards has done this every month since April of 2016, now in his sixth year as governor of the state of Louisiana. The 56th governor is ready to take your questions at 877-217-5757. 877-217-5757. I'm Jim Inkster. Matt Doyle is producing, and the governor has been reviewing the session. He has vetoed at least one bill. And on the whole, was it a productive session, or could it have been better?
No. Well, first of all, it was a very productive session. A lot of good work happened. We're going to have an opportunity to present to the voters a whole slate of tax reform initiatives that have been promoted in Louisiana since at least 2016-17 with the task force created by the legislature. Centralized sales tax collections, trading the FIT deduction for federal taxes paid in order to get lower rates for corporate income taxes, and also for individual income taxes. So from that perspective, it was a productive session. But also, I think we gave teachers another pay raise of $800, $400 for support workers, the best budget for higher education in about 15 years to start to reverse. We've stabilized funding for higher education early on in my governorship, but now we're advancing the funding there so that they can create more opportunity for Louisiana residents. And I will tell you the working relationship that I had with the House and the Senate, Democrats, Republicans, leadership, I thought was very productive. And, I mean, obviously we don't agree on everything, and there are always some difficulties. But by and large, and I think one of the reasons is that the pandemic, we were in so much better shape this session as opposed to the three sessions we had last year. And it just seemed like there was a more harmonious working relationship.
I see you've got a Green Army pin on you.
Yeah, that's actually yours. I picked it up from the table when I walked in.
I think General Honore's been in this studio sometime recently, but the governor, of course, and the general are very good friends, and the general is an advocate of the environment, as are you, but we're in a state that thrives on oil and gas, and yesterday a federal judge halted the president's pause on new oil and gas leases. This was a suit that Jeff Landry and I think 11 other attorneys general joined in. Is this big news, or is this just a ripple? What's the story?
Well, I think it's big news, but at the end of the day, the expectation was that the Biden administration, through the Department of Interior, this summer was going to announce the new plan going forward on OCS waters, and including the Gulf of Mexico, for renewed exploration and production activities. And so I suspect that will happen before there's a final result in the courts. And as I testified in front of the U.S. Senate Energy Committee last month, in terms of what's best for the economy of our country, for Louisiana's economy, energy independence, and so forth, but also for the environment, knowing that we're in a transition towards reduced reliance on fossil fuels, but it is a transition that's going to take a long time. We need to continue to produce oil and gas in the areas that are best for the environment. Mm-hmm. And the most carbon-advantaged barrel of oil produced anywhere in the world is in the Gulf of Mexico. But it's also, next week is Wind Week. And so we are promoting wind energy in Louisiana as well, and want to really take advantage of opportunities there. And in fact, it's many of the same companies and workers and vessels that have been engaged in offshore oil and gas exploration and production will be doing the same thing with respect to wind. And so that gives us a good opportunity as well.
And we will go to the phone lines in short order, 877-217-5757, your number. I see one line is open right now. Matt Doyle ready to take your call and ask the governor. The other front page story, Edwards signs bill decriminalizing pot. This, 10 years ago, would be earth-shattering news, but now Louisiana joins, I think, 26 other states. But what exactly will this measure do?
Well, first of all, I think the headline is a little misleading, and that's the way the press has treated this bill throughout. It remains illegal to be in possession of even small amounts of marijuana. And if that amount now is 14 grams or less, rather than being subject to custodial arrest, you'll be subject to a fine of no more than $100. So it remains illegal, but not an arrest, but you'll be issued a summons, much like a traffic citation. Mm-hmm. So that's the way this is going to work, and that really is the way this is developing across the country. And it's very difficult to have serious repercussions for small possession, small amounts of marijuana in possession, when in other states it's actually legal to do that. And so I think it's a common sense measure. If you'll notice, it was supported by bipartisan majorities, House and mm-hmm. Senate, and it was I think it just indicates that there's a change in thinking, and I think it's an extension of criminal justice reform as well. I don't believe we need people with small amounts of marijuana being held in jails and in prisons at great cost to the taxpayer.
And some of these people are in jail for life if it's their third offense.
Yeah, and you know, that doesn't happen often, but the fact that it can happen at all, I think, warrants making changes in the law. But, you know, if people just look at the headline and it says Edward signs bill decriminalizing pot, I think they may get the idea that all of a sudden it's legal. It is not, and that's not going to be the case.
14 ounces or less.
14 grams.
14 grams, yes. Correct. Thanks for the clarification there. Trevor in Baton Rouge. Trevor, good morning. You're on, or good afternoon. You're on Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards. Hi, Trevor.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Good Hi, afternoon. Trevor.
Yes, I'm a big fan of yours, Governor Edwards. I just want to say you're doing a good job. My question relies, it goes toward, is there an ETA when we'll receive relief for the flood?
Yeah, well first of all, thank you very much for the call. And with respect to the flood that we had here in Baton Rouge, Ascension Parish, and Assumption, Calcasieu, and so forth, several weeks ago, there has been assistance. We requested and were granted a federal emergency declaration. There were a number of parishes that were approved for individual assistance. We're still trying to figure out whether we meet the requirements for public assistance. And then we're still working on the hurricane mm-hmm. relief.
877-217-5757. That's your Ask the Governor number. We're going to take a short pause of a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with Governor John Bel Edwards. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Ask the Governor. Governor John Bel Edwards is in the house for another three quarters of an hour. There is time to join the conversation at 877-217-5757. James in Longview, Texas. James, caller on most months, during most months. Here's James again. Good afternoon, James.
Well, good afternoon, Jim. I can faintly hear you, but I hope you can hear me. And good afternoon, Governor Edwards. Anyhow, basically, I heard you speaking a few months ago about your measure to eliminate jail and prison time for modest or small amounts of marijuana. And trust me, I don't use the stuff, but I'm just wondering, just hypothetically, if you have a situation of two people in a car where, say, the driver has just a hair below that legal amount you mentioned, and the passenger does too, that it might actually be used by the same person. And I'm not a prude, but I just wonder, are there extenuating circumstances where a amount inside of a car might exceed that total weight?
Yeah, well, first of all, James, it's a good to hear from you again, and it's a good question. There are no changes with respect to driving under the influence or driving while impaired. So that's going to remain the same crime that it always has been. And as I mentioned before, it remains illegal to be in possession of even small amounts of marijuana. Through the circumstances, the law enforcement can prove that one individual was actually in possession of more than 14 grams, then custodial arrest remains a possibility. And as to whether the facts would allow that to happen, that's a little too hypothetical, I suspect, for me to be able to give a good answer. But this is a step that's been taken in a lot of states. It's not new, and it was a lot of discussion and back and forth with law enforcement and among the legislators as well.
Now, it was a busy session, and tempers were on edge. That was witnessed at the very end with Representative Melinda White and Representative Alan Seabaugh. Have you weighed in on that, fracas?
No, I haven't. You know, it is unfortunate any time that an event like that happens, and certainly, it you know, the publicity around it is not helpful to the cause of government in Louisiana. I do hope that those two individuals will be able to sit down and work through their differences and so forth. You know, I would hate to see that it continue to escalate and then make it harder to come back together the next time mm-hmm. that there's a legislative session.
Now, we have some measures going to the voters, and one of those is this so-called tax swap. Are you taking a position on it?
Yeah, so I have supported since the task force reported back in 2017 measures to simplify the tax system so that it's easier to administer, easier to understand. The nominal rates and the effective rates are much closer together. And you do that by swapping out unnecessary deductions, especially the FIT, which almost no other state in the country has, in exchange for lower rates. And whether it's individual income, corporate franchise, you do it in a revenue-neutral way, but you broaden the base and lower the rates. And it's common-sense tax reform that I think makes the state more attractive simply because it's easier to know from a glance what the true tax situation is, and you don't have to hire people to figure out what your effective rate will actually be.
877-217-5757, 877-217-5757. And Governor John Bel Edwards is here, and Matt Doyle is producing, and there are some other issues that are pertinent regarding the session. Louisiana didn't dive in full bore like some other states on election bills, but there were some, including switching us to paper ballots. The governor has the opportunity to sign or veto or not sign. Your thoughts about that's a big change.
Well, it is. And what I think we should do is make sure that we adopt what are best practices around the country so that we can conduct fair elections that are verifiable through auditing and otherwise. And I trust the Secretary of State to run a process that's going to get us there at the end of the day. But that is an interesting bill. I'll tell you, today I signed a bill that actually expands the number of days of early voting in a presidential election. So we're one of the few states in the nation this year that actually made it easier for people to mm-hmm. vote and gave them more days to go out and vote early, at least in that presidential election, which, as you know, is when we typically have the highest number of people who are actually trying to vote. So yeah. That's actually a good move.
And that was, of course, the one that people are taking offense with in some instances. Now, Ted James also had a bill to extend time in the voting booth, correct? I think so.
I don't know that bill has made it through the process, and we're still going through the bills. There are hundreds of them, as you know, Jim.
Of course.
And I spent 3 hours this morning. I have not. I'm just not sure what the status of that bill is.
I thought it passed, but I could be mistaken. 877-217-5757. Joel in Brobridge. Joel, good morning. Good afternoon, Joel. You're on Ask the Governor. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Good. First, I want to commend the governor for his bipartisan tenacity over the last few years. I think he's probably the best governor I've seen in my lifetime. I know I'm kind of getting off subject, but still on subject a little bit. I know he signed legislation behind lessening the criminality behind marijuana. But I wanted to ask him Does he think there's a financial gain to legalizing marijuana, and is Louisiana in a position where they can maybe foresee later in the years maybe legalizing it?
Joe, thank you very much for the question, and I appreciate the call. That bill actually was before the legislature. There were two related bills, one to create a structure by which we would tax recreational marijuana, secondly, to legalize recreational marijuana. Representative Nelson from St. Tammany Parish brought that bill, a first-termer, a Republican, and actually got more traction with it than most people thought. And I think there's a growing recognition that this is going to happen in Louisiana one day. And a number of folks, including the sheriffs and the DAs and others, want to make sure that before it happens, we at least take the time to study it and make sure that, that we don't make the same mistakes that other states have made that have done this before us, and so that we minimize any of the detrimental impacts and maximize the positive ones. But, you know, if you just look around the country and see the number of states that have actually legalized marijuana, it seems like it's on the march, and that certainly might happen here in Louisiana. Quite frankly, I would be surprised if there's a consensus in the legislature to do that while I'm governor.
Big announcement today. It really is an expansion of what we already know, but Amazon is launching a big presence in Baton Rouge, and meaning Louisiana, and it is soon to be the biggest employer of Americans.
Yes, and you know, this is the third announcement in Louisiana in the last few months, one in Cairn Crow. This one is similar to the announcement that we made in Shreveport most recently, but it's a 650,000-square-foot, $200 million investment. More than 1,000 direct employees will be hired to work for Amazon. There will be about 1,100 indirect jobs created by this. And during the construction phase over the next couple of years, right at another 1,000 jobs or so. So you really, if you just round it off, it's about 3,000 jobs. I think it's a significant investment, and it's going into the old Cortana Mall in North Baton Rouge. And if there's a part of the Baton Rouge community that could really use a shot in the arm, in addition to the vaccinations that are going on right now, it is North Baton Rouge. And that's why the Adam Knapp of the Baton Rouge Area Chamber today and Mayor President Sharon Western Broom were just effusive in their thanks to Amazon, but also the work at LED and all the other folks who worked so hard to make sure that this happened. I think it's positive for our state.
Now, reflecting on the session a bit more, you did issue your first veto of the session. This was a measure directed at Mr. Zuckerberg, of Facebook, who donated money. Louisiana took some of it to help with elections. There was a bill to ban that sort of thing. You decided that went too far, that a private citizen is not going to be influencing counting or anything else by contributing. What were your thoughts in issuing the veto?
Well, it's very similar to a bill by that Representative Miguez brought last year that I vetoed. And the simple fact of the matter is it already is and will remain illegal to try to influence the outcome of an election because of you know, opportunities that you have through providing things to people at polling places and so forth. But we can't know what the future is going to bring and what we might need to be able to take advantage of in order to have a safe and fair election. And for example, during the emergency last year, the funding was available for things like PPE and hand sanitizer. And many clerks of court wanted to take advantage of that because they didn't have the wherewithal to be able to afford all of those things. And it just doesn't – I can't see the rationale for not allowing that. But since we already have laws on the books that prohibit people from using such a donation to try to influence the outcome of the election. And if you notice, this bill this year actually, accepted out, it would have allowed, I should say, the donation of generators in the event there's a power failure. Well, why did that get put in? Because on presidential election day last year, because of the storm that had hit just prior to that, we actually had polling places that didn't have electricity. So we knew from past experience we needed to make sure that that would be allowed. But how do we know what the circumstances are going to be in the future? And so a blanket prohibition just seemed to me to be unnecessary and unwise. And for the same reasons I vetoed that bill last year, I vetoed it again this year.
All right. 877-217-5757. This is redistricting time. There has been a census, which means that population has shifted. We will be doing congressional elections or congressional districts, state and house districts, public service. When will this finally happen?
I had a call with the Census Bureau a few weeks ago, and they're going to be much later this year getting us the data that we would need in order to have a redistricting special session. And in fact, it won't be until September 30th, we're being told, before we would have the data that we need in the form that we need it. In conversations with the Speaker of the House and President of the Senate, it appears that we're targeting early next year, could be January or February. You know, in March, we will start a three-month regular session because it's an even-numbered year. This will be a non-fiscal three-month regular general session. And then there would be a special session before that, which could put legislators in the Capitol for as many as four consecutive months, which is a long time for part-time legislators. But that's, I think, what's on the horizon.
Do you have a red line that you won't cross if these districts get really crazy as far as so-called gerrymandering?
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing you do is you look at the map on the wall, and you can tell whether there's been a tremendous effort to draw in or out people with precision and so forth, and just the shape of the district and so forth. The overarching goal should be to have fair maps, meaning that voters decide who their leaders are going to be, and it isn't their representatives deciding who their voters are going to be.
877-217-5757, another half hour to go with the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, elected in 2015, 56% of the votes, and reelected in 2019. Closer race, but he's back for a second term. First Democrat to do that in a very long time, and he is back with us for another half hour. 877-217-5757 is your number. This is Jim Engster. Welcome back to Ask the Governor. Another half hour to go with Governor John Bel Edwards. Your number is 877-217-5757. And Shauna Sanford, the governor's astute press secretary, has noted that Representative Ted James did have a bill that increases the time in the voting booth to 6 minutes. And the governor has signed off on that one. So the Louisiana and amid other states nearby, changing laws to discourage voting or to thwart voting altogether in some cases has opened the gates in a few instances, this being one, to make it more accessible. And the governor noted that we also have more time to cast absentee voting. Is that the way?
Early voting. We're going to have additional days for presidential elections going forward.
Okay. Cynthia in Mandeville. Cynthia, good afternoon. You're on Ask the Governor. Hi, Cynthia.
Hey, how are you? Governor Edwards, it's really a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you very much for your calm and cool, collected manner of dealing with the pandemic. I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. HB 498. I had a question about that. What exactly does this mean for universities and schools to have a safe environment for their students, and also for state agencies to have the same kind of safe environment?
Yeah, well thank you very much, Cynthia, for the call. And it's not a bill that I have taken action on one way or another, but I think it seeks to prevent mandating vaccines in order to allow someone access to public buildings and so forth. And we're taking a look at the bill because, you know, right now we're operating with vaccines that are under an emergency use authorization from the FDA. At some point there will be full licensure or full authorization, and that's typically when the vaccine may be mandated for certain things. You know, for example, if you want to go to K-12 school or through to higher ed, you have to have a shot record, and yet there are certain vaccinations you have to have. But typically we wouldn't make any of these mandatory until there was a full authorization. And even then, the word mandatory is a little misleading because if you have a health reason or a religious reason, you don't have to take it. So we're going to be taking a careful look at the bill to make sure that it you know, that if I'm going to sign it, that it maintains the right balance, we think, and make sure that we can keep people safe in terms of this pandemic, and we don't want to create a bad precedent for additional pandemics that might come down the road later.
Shaw in Kenilworth here in Baton Rouge. Good afternoon, Shaw. You were on Talk. You were on Ask the Governor. Good afternoon, Shaw.
I want to commend the governor on the outstanding job he has done with C-19. And thank you for being there and talking with Jim. I'm concerned about, I think it's Bill 203, regarding the aquifers that Baton Rouge depends on. And I just wonder if that's open to discussion.
Well, thank you very much for the call and the nice comment. Senate Bill 203 is one that I have some concerns with as well. I was able to meet with Senator Bodie White last week to have a discussion with him. You know, as it turns out, we, as the law requires, currently have a representative of industrial users on the commission here in Baton Rouge, but none of them are active employees of industrial users. And so it's certainly possible to comply with the statute, but without having you know, active employees on the commission. I think that that's probably the best route going forward. But I'm trying to take a look at it because I know that the ethics board involvement with in previous cases is an issue as well. And I think that that's unfortunate that people who were employees who actually served on the commission, you know, that they're facing now ethics charges. And I'm not sure that that's something that the legislature intended. It's a somewhat of a complicated thing, but at present we don't have employees on, and quite frankly, I'm not sure that we need to in the future mm-hmm. as well. And I think industrial users can be adequately represented on the commission without having employees.
Thank you, Shaw. Now, as far as this COVID variant that has caused Great Britain to keep things down for 4 more weeks, there are concerns that it, of course, could come this way, and in many cases it has. Your thoughts about whether this will impede the progress that has been quite substantial in fighting this disease?
That's a big concern. We talked about it yesterday with the White House on our weekly call. And as you know, it was the UK variant that we were originally worried about. And now in the UK, it's the Delta variant, which actually came out of India. 90% of the cases in the UK are of this variant, and it did delay by a month their full reopening. In Louisiana in the last couple of weeks, the percentage of cases of COVID-19 attributable to this strain, this variant, have tripled. Now, it's went from about 3% to 10%, but it's as much as 25% in other states. But you look at the rate of growth, and then you have an idea of where you're headed. And so the concern is, among the epidemiologists and the doctors, is that among the unvaccinated, we could see a reversal of the trends that we've seen over the last several weeks, where we've had declining positivity, declining cases and hospitalizations and deaths. That certainly could turn around in the unvaccinated population. The other thing that we know is it's very important if you're taking the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine to get that second dose, because the second dose is more important on the Delta variant than it appeared to be under the previous variants of COVID-19. So, you know, we need more people to be vaccinated, period, and we're encouraging people to do that. Right now, there's a shot for a shot where at participating restaurants and so forth, you can show your vaccination, get a free drink, free admission to state parks. And a little bit of a teaser, in the very near future, I will be announcing some exciting things that we're going to be doing in Louisiana in order to promote vaccination.
What is our percentage right now?
Well, the percentage that we have, it's right at 1.5 million people in Louisiana, which is about a third of our population, is fully vaccinated. If you look at people who are 18 and older, it's 47.2. Mm. So we're getting close to 50% there. People 65 and older, almost 80% have at least started their vaccination, which is incredibly important because that's the group by age that is most vulnerable to the disease. And we continue to make progress every day, and I'm thankful for that. And quite frankly, I know that if you're not vaccinated in Louisiana today, there's a good chance that you're hesitant, and my appeals may not do the trick. But if you're listening to me, you hadn't been vaccinated, you got questions, please contact your medical provider. Ask your questions, get good information, factual information, and then please make the choice, because it is your choice, but make the choice to be vaccinated.
Mike in New Orleans. Mike, you're on Ask the Governor with Governor Edwards. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon. I'd like to echo everybody else's sentiments and thank the governor for his leadership. He appears to be one of the finest public servants I've ever encountered in my decades of life on this planet. I'm sure he's aware of the gun violence that's happening in New Orleans, and I'm from the Lower Ninth Ward, and we really have a crisis down here, and we feel that as a community we've been abandoned by the enforcement and by social workers who should really be present in the neighborhood, and I wanted to see what kind of resources are available to find a solution. It really is a crisis.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate the comments. And by the way, I share your concerns. In New Orleans, I think here in Baton Rouge and some other places around the state, much like is happening around the country, and particularly in the summer months, violent crime, gun crimes are you know, really spiking, and it's unacceptable. I can tell you, for example, that state police is working. Colonel Davis has met with the mayor and the chief and to make sure that there's an enhanced presence in a coordinated fashion in order to make sure that you were talking about enforcement being there in greater numbers to make sure that that happens. And I will tell you that that's incredibly important. And so we're working through that right now, and not just in New Orleans, but in many places around the state. And then with respect to the social workers, that's a little bit of a more difficult issue in terms of what's available. And I don't really have an answer for you right now in terms of the New Orleans and the Ninth Ward and the availability and the number of social workers and whether that has increased. But, Mike, I will try very hard to get that information to you. If you'll give your name and number to Nick, I'll make sure that we follow up with a call.
Thank you, Mike. 877-217-5757. We're going to take a short break, and we have another quarter hour to go with Governor John Bel Edwards. We'll start with Jose in New Orleans. Matt Doyle is producing, and we're glad the governor is in studio for another 15 minutes or so to talk with us. 877-217-5757, your number for Ask the Governor on the 63rd edition of this program. Back after this time. Good afternoon and welcome again to Ask the Governor, 877-217-5757. Jose in New Orleans. Jose, you're on with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Mr. Governor, I just want to commend you for the work that you've done in engaging us continuously during the worst of the pandemic and keeping us updated. I am an Ecuadorian immigrant, you know, of course, U.S. citizen now. But I'm really concerned about the lack of understanding of how the community, the immigrant community, has been impacted by COVID really deeply. And it's one of the measures that I've noticed that has been absent in many of your addresses. So I'm really curious if you're aware of how it's been hurting that community, especially here in New Orleans that has been rebuilt by so many of our undocumented workers, quite actually. And there's a saying within the community that me muero de COVID o me muero de hambre.
Jose, thank you very much, and we are, certainly are aware, and in fact, the impact on the Latino population from COVID-19 has been disproportionate from the beginning. Quite often, as you know, it's a marginalized community, and there are extra risks associated with different things, and it required an extra effort. And one of the things that I can tell you, we've worked very hard on outreach to the community, both as it related to testing, contact tracing, all of the things that we needed to do there, There was a COVID Hispanic task force that was started by Councilwoman Helena Moreno in New Orleans, and they've done a very good job. And one of the things that I can tell you in Louisiana is the proportion of our population that is Hispanic is 5.3%. We can tell you that 4.8% of all vaccine doses administered have been administered to the Latino community. And so and there's a certain percentage that's unknown and other. And so we're way ahead of the nation in that regard. And in terms of equity of the administration distribution of vaccines, we're at the very top of the list in the country, according to all the information that they have in Tiberius, which is the program that they're using at the federal government.
Thank you, Jose. Greg in Metairie. Greg, you're on Ask the Governor.
Governor, during the legislative sessions 2008 and 2009 and 2010, there were some very extreme draconian cuts to the funding of the LSU campuses and the UL campuses. And I think there was some cost shifting to the public and increased tuition costs following those cuts at our own public universities. So it put a greater burden on the public. I was very excited to hear you mention earlier that you have budget priorities that are increasing the funding for higher education. I was wondering if you could explain to us what your budget priorities are.
Greg, thank you very much for the call. So we did, over a period of a few years, we inverted the funding formula in Louisiana, and this happened before I became governor under Governor Jindal. But when he became governor, 30% of the funding for higher ed was derived from tuition and fees, 70% from state general fund. Just a few years later, it was 70% from fees and tuition and 30% general fund. And that started to price college education out of reach for too many people. The first thing we did was we stabilized higher ed funding when I became governor. We gave small increases. This year's the best budget in at least 15 years, with an increase of about $19 million for pay raises, $15 million for the funding formula. We're going to fully fund TOPS, as we should, and $11.1 million additional funding for GO Grants, which is need-based aid for higher education. These are capable students. They're very successful. They just lack the means to be able to go to college. And so with that injection of GO Grant funding, that program is now at $40 million a year compared to TOPS, which is about $330 million a year. But that $40 million for GO Grants is four times what it was when I became governor. And I think this demonstrates a commitment to higher education, which is critically important for more opportunity, more prosperity across Louisiana.
Craig in Natchitoches. Craig, you're on the air with the governor. Hi, Craig.
Yeah, good afternoon, Governor. Good afternoon, Jim. Question for you, Governor. Are you going to sign House Bill 473, the raising the tobacco and vaping age from 18 to 21?
I did today. As you probably know, Greg, the federal government a couple of years ago put out a requirement that happen. Our laws were out of sync. I signed that bill today so that if you want to buy tobacco products, vape products, now you're going to have to be 21 in Louisiana. And that also includes paraphernalia and I can't remember the exact terminology, some of the devices that you actually have to use in order to engage in vaping. But I did sign the bill today, so Louisiana is now consistent with the federal government.
Thank you, Craig. Matt on I-10. Matt, good afternoon. You're on Ask the Governor. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Sorry.
You're on the air.
I was curious what your vision is, Governor Edwards, and the work that your administration has done to help maintain the population of young people in our state. I've heard about the brain drain and exodus of young people. I'd love to hear your work on that.
The brain drain and what you're doing to try to keep people the best and the brightest here?
Yeah. Well, obviously, the higher education is key to that, diversifying our economy so that there's more investment here across the spectrum and will not only keep people here but actually bring people to Louisiana. So, for example, while we continue to invest in traditional oil and gas and our chemical manufacturing, we need to be investing in carbon capture and sequestration, refining out of non-fossil fuels, and all of those sorts of things, all the research that's required to do this. But the previous conversation about higher education is critically important, too, and that's to develop the talent we have here. And, you know, we have a goal by 2030. The master plan for higher ed is to have 60% of our adult population with a post high school degree or credential. And we're working in that direction to make sure that we have a citizenry that is educated, trained, has the requisite skills and knowledge to be successful. And if you have that, it makes it easier to get that investment here. And as you remember, Jim, and Matt, I suspect you may be aware of this too, the whole purpose behind the TOPS program was to keep our best mm-hmm. and brightest in Louisiana in college here, and then with the goal to having them stay in Louisiana long term. So the TOPS program helps to facilitate that as well.
Thank you, Matt. Now, Governor, there have been many national stories regarding Ronald Green, the man who was killed in state police custody a few years ago. What is the next step on that investigation?
Yeah, well, the investigation continues by the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, which got a new director just a couple of weeks ago. The investigation is still open also by the district attorney for Union Parish, District Attorney Belton. And so we're at this point waiting to see whether charges will be brought by one or both of those agencies. And in the meantime, I can tell you that Colonel Davis has moved forward with a whole host of changes related to leadership, both at that troop, but also within his command group, and a whole assortment of new policies directed to when investigations happen, when there is a potential misconduct, illegal behavior by troopers, relative to when in terms of both the administrative matter and the criminal matter, and so new policies have been developed there. You know, obviously that's a very tragic situation, and it's one where the conduct of the troopers on the scene fell far below what is expected of them, and I've said that many times. Mm-hmm. It's just disheartening to see that.
You grew up in a law enforcement family. I know you have great reverence for people who serve in that capacity. When you see somebody who doesn't do it right, mm-hmm. does that
well, sure
burn
it does. It? Sure it does. And look, we're all going to see this. If it happens, you're going to see it more often because of the prevalence and use of body-worn cameras and cameras in vehicles. Mm-hmm. And they're there for that purpose, so that we know what the facts are. And there are certain people who just should not be in law enforcement. And it doesn't matter what happens before. Once an individual is in custody and they're restrained, the violence has to stop. And you have to immediately tend to whatever the health needs might be of the particular individual. And I can tell you that there's nobody who is more offended by some of this misconduct than the people who are actually wearing the uniform, because it makes it harder for mm-hmm. them to engage with the public and do their job, and it makes it harder for the public to trust the police, and so there's just nothing good about that, and certainly we're striving to make sure that doesn't happen again.
We only have a few seconds left, but are we on the right track in that particular case?
Well, you know, like everybody else, including the family, we're waiting to see what happens in terms of the investigation and so forth. But what I can tell you is I'm very impressed by the responsiveness and the professionalism of Colonel Davis and others within the state police to make sure that we're making changes. Much of the legislation mm-hmm. that came out of the Criminal Justice Committee this year was a result of a task force that was stood up in response to this event as well.
Thank you, Governor Edwards. Back next July 21st for show number 64. Until then, thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards. This program is produced by the Louisiana Radio Network.